And now it's time for Power of Prophecy with your host, former professor at the University of Texas at Austin, career United States Air Force officer, and best-selling author, Tex Mars.
Hello, friends. This is Tex Mars. Welcome to another edition of Power of Prophecy. You know, there's one prophecy in the Bible that is so true, it has never failed. Never, ever, ever failed. I do not know one person, man or woman, who has ever lived who did not die. Do you, friends? The Bible in Hebrews 9, verse 27 says, "It is appointed for a man once to die, afterward the judgment." You're going to die, and you may not like it. I know all these men and women running around today are trying to evade it, hide from it, and they even claim that you shouldn't do it. But you're going to be judged. You're going to be judged, and God will determine what place you will go for eternity. It is appointed for a man once, not 10 times, not 3 times, not as the New Age reincarnationists say, you know, over and over again till they get it right. No, you've just got one time to get it right. But what do you have to do to get it right? Well, you must believe in Him. And you must believe in Him, being drawn to Him. And you must say to God, "Yes, I will follow you." That's it. Whatever you say, whatever, you know, you do to me, I'm going to follow you. It really is simple, and yet it's not. I mean, after all, you're dedicating your entire life to God. I advise you, don't do it quickly. Don't do it just because somebody in the church says, "Get on your knees and do it," or "Here, just repeat this prayer after me." Think about what you're doing. You're giving yourself your whole life, every bit of it, all over to God. But if you do, I promise you, as the man says in the TV ad, I guarantee it, you will be happy. You will have done the right thing. Now, I want to talk to you today about, a fancy word, transhumanism. Transhumanism, going beyond the human stage of development. Now, the roboticists, and that's who I'm talking about today, have many, many followers and fans. And they are gaining great numbers because of the promise of transhumanism. You see, they believe that on the coming day of singularity, whenever that might be, depending on our research efforts in roboticism and computers, it may be as early as 7 or 10 years, or it might be 25. But it's coming. Robots will surpass the human being in performance and ability. And at that time, the very smart man, the very intelligent, the wise person, they say, will want to follow the robots, will want to go even perhaps beyond the robots by becoming a robot himself or herself. You'll become a robot person. You'll download or upload, whichever it can be, your brain into a computer body. The computer body can have any shape that you wish. You can look like Charlton Heston when he was young and handsome, or I don't know who you admire. Or maybe you're a woman, then obviously you can be Angelina Jolie or Marilyn Monroe. I don't know. But you can receive a chip in your brain. You can receive all kinds of joints. In fact, I've got a list of the parts that the bionic person can now attain. Now, my wife has several of them, but she didn't think about immortality. She's looking forward to death. Yes, she is looking forward to dying and being with Jesus. That's her goal in life. That sounds strange, doesn't it? To have your goal in life, to be dead to life, but alive in Jesus. That's my wife's goal, Wanda. And she tells me about it sometimes. She says, I would not want to live forever. I'm looking forward to being with Jesus. Well, I think that's the way to look at things, but those who do not have Jesus, who do not believe in Jesus, who haven't given their lives over to him, they want something else. They're desperate. There is a race to immortality, even to what we would call digital immortality. If you can mesh your brain, your joints, with those of a robot, perhaps you can live forever. The human development will continue. Darwin will have been proven right, I suppose. You know, you're going to live forever, but you'll just change. And, you know, I told you my wife has certain bionic parts. Well, she's had both of her shoulders, excuse me, both of her knee, hips. I can't remember the parts. Both of her hips replaced, one of them twice. She's had a full shoulder put in. And when we go to the TSA people at the airport, everything rings, you know, ding, 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 ding. And she's taken over and she's checked. And, of course, she says, well, I have all these parts, you know, the doctors put in. They, you know, they just take their little sound machine or whatever and go all over her body and, you know, just wasting their time. The most damage my wife could do in one of those airplanes is, well, I don't know if she could do any, but maybe if somebody got fresh, she might hit them over the head with her purse, I suppose. But she has to go through all that nonsense, doesn't she? Well, these immortalists, I guess you call them that, immortalists, they believe that they can become robots, super intelligent, super smart, and with a robotic body or apparatus, they can live forever. In fact, they can keep exchanging bodies. Maybe one time they don't want to be a man, they'll just be a woman. If there is a woman robot, and they assure me there will be in 10 to 25 years, you'll be able to get a robot companion or sex partner, whatever it is. I saw a man on TV just last week. He had a TV show, and he was talking about he cannot wait until he gets to be a till they create a robot he can, you know, go down and buy and do all kind of things with. I'm not going to tell you what he was saying, but I saw it on YouTube, and I was shocked about the guy. He said he couldn't wait. I want to get a robot that looks just like, you know, the woman I've dreamed about all my life. I don't know who he's dreamed about, but that's what he wants. He says, I'm looking forward to it. I'm not even going to tell you what he said he would do to it, but I thought, well, goodness gracious, you know, this, I think there's millions of people like that. They go on the internet now and they make up people. You know, Bill Clinton gave a speech a few years back after he left the presidency, and he said, have you ever heard of virtual presidents? A virtual president. He says the scientists can create a being that looks exactly like me. And that being could be president. I could go off on a trip somewhere and leave him back at the White House. He could be signing bills into law and meeting people. And people think they're meeting the president, but they're meeting a virtual reality president. He said that's possible right now. Well, I'm wondering if he knew something maybe that we don't know about. I'm not saying there's 2 or 3 or 10 or 20 Obamas. Don't get me wrong. I'm just saying that President Clinton said it's possible. But I want to tell you something today, friends. When we're talking about transhumanism and digital immortality, I want to tell you that actually it's not possible. Now, the greatest experts in the world tell me that it is. But they say a lot of stuff I don't believe. I believe what the Bible says. And I think they're going to be proven wrong. And it's going to be a hellacious moment when they're proven wrong. And it's coming up very soon, maybe 10, 20, 30 years from now, you're going to see people proven absolutely incorrect. Because there is a father of life and death. There is a person, the Bible says, has the keys to life and death. Has the keys. Let me read to you from the Bible. I pray you'll understand the Bible, that you'll believe in it. It's absolute truth. But here's what it says in 1 John chapter 5, verse 12. He that hath the Son hath life, and he that hath not the Son of God hath not life. Well, there's a lot of people that are dead right now walking. In fact, the majority of the world is dead. In the Old Testament, they're called the congregation of the dead. Have you ever been in a congregation like that? Have you ever been to a church like that? I have. They're dead. They're not alive. They haven't been quickened. They haven't had that important meeting with Jesus Christ. Yeah, their day of singularity has come and passed. They were offered eternal life at one time, and they said, no, I don't want that. I want to go on living like I am now. They think they can, through transhumanism, they can have a computer chip put in their mind and they'll be brilliant. And they can have a plastic and, you know, metal body of some kind, or maybe they're going to develop biological bodies. Oh yes. The biologists are working in the laboratory, and they're coming up with complete parts. Hearts, livers, lungs. They're growing them in the laboratory. And they're going to have a perfect body, perhaps. But will they have life? If they don't have the Son of God, they do not have life. And if they have the Son of God, they will. They do. But there is one who will deceive the whole earth. It's in Revelation 13, read about him. And deceiveth them that dwell on the earth by the means of those miracles which he had power to do. There is a power in this world, a satanic power. You know, I gave a copy of my new book, Robot Alchemy, to my sister-in-law. Now she must be 92 years old now. 92 years old. She's in a nursing home. And Wanda goes and visits her about three times a week. And brought her a copy of my book, you know, autographed by me. The autograph doesn't mean very much, but, you know, well, they used to save that and 50 cents to give you a cup of coffee. I think it was a quarter back then. Maybe even a dime is a little bit cheaper. That's what my autograph will bring you. But some people like it. I don't know. She called me on the phone and she said, Tex, you know, in sort of a squeaky voice. I said, yes. How are you doing, Essie? She said, I'm not doing very good. I said, what's the matter? She said, I'm reading your book. I said, well, why does my book make you feel bad? She said, because of everything you said about robots, I'm scared. I'm frightened. I'm afraid they will take over the world, you know. I said, well, what are you afraid of? Are they going to come in and get you? She says, maybe. I don't know. I'm just scared of them. All these creepy pictures and things in your book. I said, well, Essie, won't you put that book aside? She said, I can't now. It's so interesting, but I'm scared. I said, well, you don't have anything to be scared of, Essie. When you get scared, just put that book down and say, Jesus, protect me. Take care of me. I know you will. Then you pick up that book and just laugh a little bit. No, I'm frightened. Well, okay. I guess she wanted to be frightened, didn't she? Now, in Revelation, it tells us that this Antichrist, this beast, will have power. And he will actually have power to create an image. Think about that now, the virtual reality, the robot. He will create an image. Now, an image is a copy of something, is it not? You reproduce something that already exists, a human being, and you make something just like it. But maybe not exactly like it. Maybe it's missing something. Maybe it's missing a soul. But in any case, Revelation 13 says the beast will create this image. And not only that, the image he will cause to move about, to walk, to talk. That tells you right there it's not a human being. It's at least not one that, like we think of. It looks like a human being. It talks, it moves, and it gives orders and commands. And it says to you, take a mark in your right hand or in your forehead, or a number, or the name of the beast. Take a mark, or the number 666. And it probably makes all kinds of promises to you that if you take this mark, you will do well in life. I have a friend, he comes to visit me sometime here in the ministry, and we talk about the things that I'm doing and he's doing, and we glorify God. And he told me that he had a vision one day when he was younger. You see, he was just coming up and he wanted to do well, and he was a pastor. He was called. And Billy Graham was big then and had these crusades. And my friend John said, one day while he was driving his car, he had a vision. Have you ever driven your car and you suddenly sort of wake up? I've awakened. And you say, wow, I've gone for 2 or 3 miles down the highway. I didn't even know it. Your subconscious takes over and drives for you, does it not? And you wake up and say, boy, if somebody had pulled in front of me or something, I'd have probably hit them. Well, you probably would not have. Your subconscious would have taken over and woke you up. But he said he had a vision while he was driving. A dream, a complete dream. And in this dream, he saw a huge stadium full of people. They'd come to hear a religious message. And it was an excited crowd. And they were very excited over the messenger who came to bring the message. And he looked up at the pulpit and it was him. He had a huge crowd. And then a voice came to him and said, do as I say, and this will be you. This will be the crowd I give you. You will be one of the most celebrated men in all of Christendom. Just do what I tell you to do. Follow me, and I will make you great. He wanted to be great. He wanted to do things for God, but this wasn't God talking to him. This was the devil. The devil was saying, follow me. And he knew it wasn't God's voice. You say to me, well, Tex, maybe he was mistaken. Maybe it was God. Maybe he just didn't understand. Oh, oh my goodness. He understood. He understood who the voice was. Jesus says in the Bible that my sheep will follow me. They'll hear my voice and do what I say, and they'll follow no one else's voice. And if you're not my sheep, you will not follow me. That's what he told the Jews of his day. You don't hear me because you're not of me. All the time I tell people about Jesus Christ and what he said, what he does, what he will do for you. And they look at me like I'm crazy. Well, I don't believe that, they say. And I know why they can't believe, because they don't have him, and they don't want him, and they reject him, and they have no understanding. And I don't care if they have a seminary degree or a doctorate or whatever they've got. I know that they're a fool. I know that they're ignorant. I know that they're depraved. John knew this. It was an authoritative voice. It was somebody. I said to John, I says, well, when that voice came to you and told you that, John, and you knew it was the devil, but do you think he was just tempting you? Do you think he would have really done what he said? And John said, oh, yes. Oh, yes. You see, John was going to the studio to do a special program that God had put on his heart. He was going to a TV studio at a TV program in Oklahoma, and the devil says, turn around your car. Turn your car around. Don't go to the TV studio. Don't give the message that you're supposed to give. Go home tonight and follow me. That's all he had to do. John said, I knew he was telling me the truth. The devil does tell the truth sometime. You know, he is a liar, but he was telling the truth. He was going to make John a big star. What would you have done? All he had to do was just turn his car around. He could have called up the studio and said, I feel a little bit sick tonight. I don't feel well. Let's just cancel that program. We'll do something different tomorrow. I don't feel good tonight. Easy to do. And then he'd have had all of that. All of those promises the devil showed him would be his. I said, well, what did you do, John? And he laughed at me. He says, well, I went on to the studio. I said, you went to the studio? Yes. I had a message God had given me. I was determined. He said, I woke up from that vision. I knew it was the devil. And I said, well, no, I'm not going to do that. I'm going to follow God. Now, John's, about 75 years old now. He's about at the last of his ministry. He keeps going. He's been a missionary to Russia, to Burma. He's got a group called Today, the Bible and You. But he remembers that day when the devil called him. And John just calmly said, no, I'm not going to do that. The devil has the right to do miracles for you, but you'll regret them. And John would not be my friend today, and he would be a different person. And I suspect he would be a very unhappy, miserable man today if he had followed the devil's calling. I said, since then, has the devil come to you again? He says, no, never. The devil went on to other people, I guess. He doesn't bother me anymore. But some follow the devil. Jesus, of course, was tempted of the devil. And Jesus, and he was shown all the kingdoms of the earth. And the devil said, well, look, follow me and I'll give you all this. This, it's my right to give you this. Did you understand what I just said? It's my right. I have a right to all these things. I own them. And Jesus knew that he told the truth. He owned them. Think about owning all the kingdoms of the earth. And the devil says, I'll give them to you if you'll follow me. Now, the Bible says the gates of hell will not prevail against Jesus and his church, Matthew 16:18. And you know, Jesus has the keys of hell. He does. He can lock the devil up there forever, or he can let him go for a time. He has the keys. He has the keys of hell and of death, Revelation 1:18. I am he that liveth and was dead, and behold, I am alive forevermore. And that's talking about immortality, isn't it? And he can make you alive just like that. But in Revelation 6:8, well, that revelation has a lot, doesn't it? Here's what it says of the one of the riders of the four horses of the apocalypse, and his name that sat on him was Death, and hell followed with him. I want you to think about that. These people are telling you through transhumanism, you can become an immortal. You can live forever. You can be a god. Now, I'm not making this up. I'm telling you, Raymond Kurzweil, the world's most famous roboticist, what was it, Harvard University, he's now the director of development for Google. And he says he wants to be a god. And he says, when my brain is downloaded and I become a fully functioning robot, with my own brain, I will be a god. He offers people a god. To be a god, that is. Isn't that amazing? You can be a god, friend. You can have all, you can have it all. But something seems to be missing in that promise. I look at Kurzweil and I say, boy, his name that sat on him was Death. But he says, I'll create you as a robot or a bionic person, a cyborg, and you will live forever. And his name that sat on him was Death. And hell followed with him. You know, I read about in Revelation 9, it talks about people who are tormented in the last days. Certain plagues hit the earth and people are tormented. And there are these robotic-like creatures tormenting them. Think about that. I call this the robotic tyranny of Big Brother. It's coming. I'm telling you, that's why I wrote my book. I didn't just write about robots. I wrote about what robots are going to do, what men are going to do with robots. They're going to do these things. Listen to what it says in Revelation 9. These things come up out of the earth, out of a pit. And they're locusts. They look like locusts, but they sting like scorpions. And they had tails like scorpions. And with these tails, they do bite people and hurt them. Can you imagine? Now, I didn't even write this. I mean, Essie, my sister-in-law sure would have been frightened if she'd have read that. Maybe she needs to read the book of Revelation more if she wants to be frightened. If she were not to know Jesus, she would be frightened, would she not? Now, I don't worry about these verses. I read them, and they have intellectual curiosity to me. And I can see people suffering from these things. But they won't kill you. They're going to be engineered so they won't kill you, but they will hurt you. You're going to do what the beast says because these plagues will come upon you and you'll do whatever he says. Are these scorpions, scorpion tails on locusts, and they have faces like men. They have hair like women and they have wings. And in the Bible, the wings, you know, are beating. And to them it was given that they should not kill them, but that they should be tormented. Wow. Man. They were tormented for 5 months. There was a period of time. 5 months. They were tormented. I suppose you couldn't open your door. Maybe these things would get in the windows, in the doors. They were tormenting. You couldn't even leave. They were horrible. They were some kind of a robotic creatures, and they have these robotic creatures right now being made in DARPA laboratories across America. That kind of creature that's in Revelation that will bite and sting and torment. They're alive now. They're here. We'll talk more about these and other beasts and scorpions that are alive, that the government has created with your tax dollars. And we'll talk about immortality as a robot when we return in just one moment. I'm Tex Mars. You're listening to Power of Prophecy. Robot Alchemy. Robot Alchemy, Androids, Cyborgs, and the Magic of Artificial Life. That's the title of my new book, Robot Alchemy. It's a big book, and it's got, hundreds of beautiful photographs in it of robotic creatures and androids and cyborgs. Amazing photographs. A collection that you've never seen before, all in one place. Now, what does alchemy mean? It means magic or witchcraft. Why? Why would I combine the word robot with alchemy? Because that's what's being offered to people. The opportunity to be immortals. When that day of singularity comes, you can go forward and be as the robots. You don't have to stay behind and be like these, you know, non-advanced, low-information human beings. You can be a high-information, high-performance robot. You can live forever. You can be a god. Isn't that interesting? Now, I was reading recently an article by a man named Giulio Prisco. He's a science writer, a technology expert, a futurist, and a transhumanist. And I believe he's an atheist, but he says he believes in God. Well, his God is man. His God is advanced man. His God is the robot. He says he has a religion. It's called cosmism. And he says that cosmists, including him, believe strongly that godlike beings will exist in the future. And he says he believes there are probably other civilizations out in outer space, other worlds, that have already attained godlike powers. And we need a renaissance of religion here in the United States and the world. And future magic by science will give mankind most of the promises of religion and many amazing things that no human religion ever dreamed of. In the future, you could be a god. When Kurzweil, one of the world's top roboticists, was asked, "Are you a god?" He said, "Not yet." Not yet. And you could be resurrected from the dead by being copied. They can even use a 3D machine to copy you. A 3D machine to copy you. You'll be resurrected in a form of virtual reality and robotics. Now, Mr. Prisco says these convictions of his are beliefs. I choose to hold them as beliefs. But nowhere here is mentioned Jesus Christ. Nowhere does he have the promise of eternal life from the author of life itself, which is Christ Jesus. Well, I write about these kinds of things in different sections of my book, Robot Alchemy. I want you to have this book. This could be the most important book you've ever read in your life. And I don't want you to be like my precious sister-in-law who says, "I'm frightened." I don't want it to frighten you. I just want it to convince you that if you don't have Jesus Christ in your life, you need him. That's my purpose. I guess I'm the only evangelist into robots in the whole world. I don't know of any other. Do you? Has anybody been to your church teaching you robotics? Well, that's what I've been doing. I've been telling everybody about robots. And I've been doing it on the radio here for a couple of months now. I've been on, I don't know, Jerry, how many programs have I, radio programs have I been on? I keep getting radio programs, you know, hosts that call me, ask me to come on and talk about this subject. And they've never had somebody come on and talk about robotics or computers in their whole life. And they asked Tex Mars too. And many of them are amazed. Why are you on robotics? Why, what has possessed you? Well, I'm possessed by the life itself, Jesus Christ, to tell you the truth about robotics. So yeah, you'll never have a book like this. Right now, there's none on the market. Kurzweil has a book, and there are others who have books, but they don't tell you the truth. They don't tell you the whole aspects. Mike Adams of Natural News, he takes over as a guest host for Alex Jones sometime. He says of transhumanism that's just Kool-Aid with poison in it. It won't make you dead. It will only make you, won't make you alive, won't make you live immortally. It will only make you dead. That's what he says. Why drinking the Kurzweil Kool-Aid will only make you dead, not immortal. That's what Mike Adams wrote in Natural News this last June the 25th. Very interesting article. Upload your mind to a computer as junk science, he says. Junk science. But he's a naturalist. He's not a technologist. Technologists say you can do it. He says you're a member of a cult if you buy into that. Well, we're going to talk more about that in just a moment. But right now, I want you to know that robot alchemy will give you the pros and the cons. I try to be fair to the roboticists. And, you know, in fact, this very month, you can go to the newsstands. I believe, I think it was July the 23rd. It'll be in all of the newsstands. And, you know, you can go to, what are all the names of the books? They've been closing so many bookstores now. Barnes and Noble, for example. Go to the bookstores and look for the magazine called Robot. It's just called Robot. There's a review of my book, Robot Alchemy. They rather like the book. They give it a 5-star rating. They say, and these people are all roboticists, I'm really surprised that they say such nice things about my book, Robot Alchemy, but they say this is the first time a book like this, it's a factual compendium. You can use this as a research resourcer. It covers everything from tiny robot insects to drones, well, just everything about robots, even avatars, robots in science fiction and movies, industrial and worker robots, entertainment robots, machines to conquer, military robots, robots in space, and of course, transhumanism. They say I'm very eloquent in pointing out things. Well, good for them. Thank you very much. Robot Magazine that reviews my book, Robot Alchemy. I want you to have a copy of this. Now, it's quality glossy paper with beautiful glossy photos throughout in color. First time I've ever done a book like this. I'm very proud of it because it tells the truth and it gives you the perspective you need. I don't just come out. It's not going to be all Bible, but it's going to tell you the truth. It's going to tell you the truth. Some people say, Tex, why are you worried about robots? Why don't you worry about, you know, Jesus? Why don't you worry about the Bible? I've been giving you quotations from the Bible today. I've been telling you what the Bible says that's different from the world and its technologies. That's my mission. That's what I'm called to do. I can't help it if I'm the only one called to do it, but I suspect that God's going to call a lot more than me, a lot of people more brilliant than me. But for now, I'm the only one, okay? So you'll have to buy Robot Alchemy from Power of Prophecy. Or you can go to Amazon.com and get it. But I hope you'll get it from us because we can take the profits and keep putting them into the ministry. And by the way, I don't get any royalties from the book. I don't receive any royalties from this book. I donate all the royalties on my books to the ministry. So don't say, well, every book that I buy, I'm helping text. No, what you're doing is helping God's work. You're helping God's work. Okay? We will keep going on this. And we haven't run out of money yet. We've come pretty close this summer. I don't think we've had a profit in about 4 months, but we've had a few profits back then, you know, so it sort of balances out over the year. And I think we actually came out a little bit in the minus category, but I want you to order from us if you can. Powerofprophecy.com, powerofprophecy.com. Go to that page. That's my webpage. You can just go to texmars.com. And there, right on the front page, you'll see a big advertisement for Robot Alchemy. The book is $30. Add $5 shipping and handling. We got a lot of copies we ordered because I knew it was going to be a very fast seller. A lot of people are interested in this particular topic. But we got plenty of copies, and we're going to keep it in print as long as we for many years to come, because it's one of the most important books I've ever done. Now, you know, I used to write robot books. Believe it or not, before I was doing Christian books, I was a roboticist. Now, I never really thought about becoming a god through robotics, you know, and I sort of admired robotics people. But I don't much admire those atheists who think they can become gods. I know they're making a super mistake, a powerful mistake. That's why I'm here preaching to them. But they won't listen to me. Well, maybe some will. I don't know. I mean, Robot Magazine, the number one magazine for robots people, gives my book a 5 stars. So good. Good for them. I want you to have this book. $35. That takes care of the shipping. Send it to Power of Prophecy, 1708 Patterson Road, Austin, Texas, 78733. Or go to online now on the internet to powerofprophecy.com. Or you can get it at amazon.com. Robot Alchemy. Robot Alchemy. You can phone us toll free during the work day. Just call and the friendly receptionist will help you get the book. And we'll even give you a free subscription to my newsletter, Power of Prophecy. Every month you'll get it in the mail. And it's a very unique newsletter, and you'll see my new books and videos, and we'll have articles and things in there. And some people tell me, boy, they just can't wait. When they get that, they just, man, they devour it. And I love to do the newsletter. I mean, everyone here will tell you, I labor over that newsletter. Every little word is just tailor-made. And I get very excited when I see the newsletter out. That's the way I am. I'm very excited about what I do here. I love this ministry. I love it. And I love it because I have friends like you. Now, I know that some people don't like me. They say, well, you know, he's a fear-monger. He's this. You're always going to have people like that. Hey, I don't even worry about those people. They say, well, you're a fear-monger. I say, well, of course I am. Have I got you scared yet? Yeah, I'm a little scared. Well, good. Maybe I've scared the devil out of you. I don't know. Oh, my goodness. Well, okay. Our phone number here is 1-800. That's free now. 1-800-234-9673. As for Robot Alchemy by Tex Mars. Now let's return to our regular program. Chapter 3 is the chapter about transhumanism in this book. What is its title? Transhumanism. Men into Superman and then into God. Well, that's what they're saying they want to be. They want to be as gods. And, you know, this transhumanist religion, cosmism. Now, there's a number of names for it, but think about that. Cosmism. They say in the late 19th century, this religion began. Two Russians, Konstantin Tsiolkovsky and Nikolai Fedorov, considered science as a tool that will enable us to resurrect the dead and, as promised, enjoy material life forever. Did you hear what I just said? Enjoy material life forever. Now, the Bible says that we can't even fathom heaven. It's going to be greater than anything we can imagine. I'm banking on that. Are you, friends? Nothing here in this material world is worth it. Now, I know all the Jews say Israel is going to be an eternal city, Jerusalem, and the Jews are God's eternal people. But I've already showed you that they're all mixed up. They're all confused. They're all devils because they don't have the Son. Of course, I tell them to their face all the time. I write it out. Now, Christians don't back me up on this. They think that Jews have their own covenant. But the Bible says that covenant is gone. It vanished. A new covenant came upon this world. His name was Jesus. That's the covenant that God made with us. Can you imagine? This is what they don't understand. They think it was a covenant, a written agreement maybe, or at least an oral agreement. First Abraham and then Moses made. And, you know, this agreement, if you follow every little rule in it, you'll be saved. You'll have eternal life. That's like transhumanism. You'll go beyond human, but you'll still be on this world, this earth. You'll have this material glory. Israel's glory will cover the whole earth. You don't need Jesus. Why, you'll have another Jewish Messiah. But what does the Bible say? If you don't have the Son, you don't have the Father. But if you have the Father, you'll have the Son too, also, I should say. Now, technology can make immortality a reality, says Ray Kurzweil. Here's what he says. And by the way, this comes from his speech that he gave at the Global Future 2045 World Congress. I don't know why they chose 2045. You know, they're all choosing a different time frame. When we'll get that word, singularity. The robots will be greater than us by that time. But you can be a robot. Ah, yes. Immortality will cause you to expand your consciousness, says Ray Kurzweil. He says, think about this. In between 10 or 20 years, there's going to be a tremendous transformation of health and medicine. He says, everything will be overcome. Heart disease, cancer, every neurological disease. The technologies we have will be so powerful. They'll be a million times more powerful than the computers we have now in just 20 years. You won't be taking a biological pill. You'll be taking capsules and tablets and pills that will be electronic nanorobots in your body. Well, they had this conference there, and Kurzweil was one of the speakers. Now, whose conference was it? Well, it was a Russian billionaire, a tycoon. His name is Dmitry Itzkov. I don't know Mr. Itzkov, but I guess I don't know a lot of billionaires. I know the names of some of them, Bill Gates of Microsoft, and but Itzkov, I don't know, but I know he's a billionaire. And there were a lot of billionaires at this conference. In fact, that's all that was invited. I didn't. Jerry, did you get your invitation? I didn't either. I thought they'd send me one of these gold, gilt-edged, invitations in the mail. They didn't want me there, I guess, to give them copies of my book. I don't know. But this guy's from Russia. Russia now has a capitalistic system. All these oil millionaires and gas millionaires. This guy's only 32 years old, but he says, I'm going to start a company, and we will fund research for technology that will make eternal life possible by transferring human consciousness to avatars. Avatar. Now, avatar is a Hindu word meaning a human deity or human god. Now, the Hindus say that ever so many thousands of years, an avatar appears on earth. Buddha was an avatar. Jesus was an avatar. Now, we Christians know Jesus as much more than just an avatar or a Christ. He is the Christ. But, this is the Hindu version. But Itzkov is not a Hindu. You might say he's an atheist. He says this is the next space race. And it's initiative 2045. It's by 2045 it'll be done. Now, here's what he wants to do. Is that you sit home, you're a couch potato. You sit home on your couch or, whatever, laying in bed or whatever. And your brain, I don't know by then, by 2045, they may not even need electrodes to be put in your brain. You'll be connected probably, electronically, but there'll be no wires or anything, to some kind of a machine. And you will have under your command 6 or 7 avatars. They'll look like anybody that you choose, but they will all be you. You will be six or seven persons at once. Now, one of these avatars you send off to maybe to Rome. You'd like to see the Colosseum. Another one you send off to the South Pacific to try, you know, deep sea diving. Another one goes to visit the Rocky Mountains of the United States. But in any case, you have all of these avatars going out into the world, venturing, expanding your consciousness for you. You are them. They are you. He says that businesses at that time, now remember it was 2013 now, so we're just talking about what, less than 35 years from now, 32 years. In about three decades, he says, there'll be businesses needed to manufacture the robotic avatar bodies and to build brain and computer interfaces. And by the way, the DARPA, the Defense Advanced Research Projects Agency, our government has already spent billions of dollars to develop computers that will link brains together. Neurological patches in two different people's brains link them together. But wait, they're not finished. They want to take a human army and link it all together. You know, that's when I was in the military, they taught us leadership and management principles, and they said, use these leadership and management principles to meld the whole team together as one working unit. Well, now they're not going to, you know, we don't need those. We just put a patch, put a neurological chip in everybody's brains, and they all think alike. You can have a million men under your power, but they all think just alike. And the image of the beast will command all men to worship and to take a mark either in the right hand or in the forehead. They'll all do it because they've been given a command. They've been told to do it, and they willingly accepted the mark. And that, do you see how scary, how frightening this can be? Come and get your chip. It's free. Obamacare will pay for it. Come and get your chip, and then you'll be more intelligent than the next guy. You don't want to be backward. You don't want to be one of those human beings, do you? One of those human beings that stays back in history that never really learns of the future. You can be an advanced technological genius. Just take this chip, and then you'll think amazing things. Yeah. Yeah. And there will be networks, says Itzkoff, networks of robotic systems that will be used, now get this, to transfer a human's consciousness to a different avatar in another location. Your consciousness is transferred to that avatar. Now Itzkoff, this billionaire from Russia that wants to do this, this tycoon, he said he's not ignorant of the fact that some people may be hesitant, even reluctant to upload, he calls it, upload their consciousness to a robot. But it's going to be necessary because the human species must survive and an evolutionary change is necessary. I mean, that's what communism told its people. There will be a new Soviet man. We will all think of the future. We will not think of the czar and all the past. We're going to meet the needs of evolution. We will be a new man. That's what Karl Marx told people. They would have pictures of the new man. Young, virile, powerful, intelligent. He has no capitalistic mentality. He only thinks of love for his fellow man and socialism and the new consciousness. Why? He'll have the new brain. That's what Itzkoff wants to give you, a new brain. You think you're going to take your present brain into the future with avatars. No, they're going to give you a new brain. You won't think what you do now. You'll be improved. You'll be, they will engineer a brain, a chip that will make you think thoughts of peace and love and harmony. I can't wait. Can you? Not everyone understands the motive of this project, says Mr. Itzkoff. I know we could really change things in the world just by changing the way we think. I have no doubts, not even a small doubt that this is possible. Well, Mr. Itzkoff, I have some big doubts. First of all, what if you're able to change the thoughts in my brain? What if you upload, as you call it, my consciousness, my awareness, my soul into a machine brain? But it doesn't take. What if the robot brain is just as intelligent, even more intelligent than I am? It's perfect in many ways. Everything transfers just like you think it would. It goes from this brain to that brain, and then that brain is improved with various chips and neurological improvements. But what if my soul stays behind? You see, these people want to live forever. They're desperate. They want digital immortality. They don't want to die because they know afterward the judgment will come. They cannot escape judgment. They want to so bad. And they say, I don't want to die. These cells are getting older. I look in the mirror. I have wrinkles. I have gray hair. I'm old. I want to live on forever in an adventurous, new, young life. Mr. Itzkoff, he's only 32, but he's already looking forward to eternal life through machine consciousness. But what if his soul doesn't move on? Mike Adams says, this is Kool-Aid. It will only make you dead, not immortal. Well, what is death? Death is when you don't have Jesus Christ. You're in the congregation of the dead right now as a human being. You can be 21 years old. You can have a body like Ben Affleck, or I don't know these name of the movie stars today, but you can look like all of them. You can be like all of them. You can be a wonderful human being, as the world paints it. But will you have a soul? Can the soul be transferred to another body, to another reality? That's what transhumanist religion tells you. They say it can. They call it the juice. You need the juice. Well, you need a soul. You need consciousness. Can you transfer the soul? They can take my brains, every cell I've got, they can transfer it into a machine. And they're already figuring out the brain and what it's thinking. They say they don't need a lie detector now. They can use a computer and tell whether you're lying or not. Wow. But can they see the soul? No one has ever seen a soul. No one really knows what a soul looks like or thinks like or is like. But God sees your soul. God is the only one who knows what the soul is, what it thinks. He's the only one that can reach down and take you into his hand and make you alive forevermore. He has the keys to hell and to death and to heaven. And to heaven. You want to be immortal? Know Jesus. It's as simple as that. Or you will be dead. And you will be judged. And there's no recourse. There's no other way. Well, this has been Tex Mar. It's been great being with you today. We've talked about transhumanism and the one who has the keys to life and death, Jesus Christ. My prayer is that you'll tune in each week during this same time and discover the power of prophecy.